Well, my vision was that this was not a museum of black history for black people. The vision was that this was a place that would help us all remember and to realize that all of us, regardless of how long we've been in this country, regardless of race, have been shaped dramatically by the African American experience. So what I wanted more than anything else was for everybody to feel comfortable and to understand that this is your story too.
Your journey to commemorate African American history on the National Mall has not been an easy one. Can you briefly walk us through some of the most challenging problems that you came across?
Well, I think the biggest challenge was that this museum started with nothing. It had a staff of two. Unlike any other Smithsonian museum, it didn't have any collections, no artifacts to tell the history. We didn't know where the museum would be. There was no money raised, there was no architect. So, in essence, on the one hand, it was wonderful to be able to sort of start from scratch, to create your own vision. But the challenge was, how do you make people believe this was going to happen? And I think that the biggest success I had was really convincing folks that after 100 years, this museum was finally going to happen.
When you were collecting items for your museum, you actually went looking for something tied to the slave trade and found remnants of a slave ship in Mozambique. Can you share with us how you felt at that time?
I had decided that the Smithsonian needed to give the visitor something they rarely see. And I thought a remnants of the slave ship would be important to do. And so I traveled the world because I thought, how hard could it be? But they're all, most of them have sank. And I looked in Cuba, looked on the west coast of Africa. And because I had long ties in South Africa, some people said to me, well, we're doing research and it may be a slaver. So what we ultimately did was we found this ship, the São José, that had left Lisbon in about 1792, was on its way to Mozambique. It picked up 510 people, sank off the coast of Cape Town. What I decided was, in order to tell that story, I needed to go back to Mozambique. I needed to go to where the Makua people, who were most of the people that were on the ship, were from. And it was one of the most moving experiences of my life. The chieftain came to me and he gave me a vessel, cowrie shell covered vessel, and he said, this is a gift. And I opened it and it was full of soil. So I was trying to figure out what kind of gift is this. And then he said to me, your ancestors have decided that you need to take this and take this soil from Mozambique and sprinkle it on the site of the wreck. So for the first time since 1794, my people can sleep in their own land. For me, that made all the work worthwhile to be able to realize that this is a story that happened centuries ago, but had such meaning for the Makua people.
You said a vessel. What kind of a vessel?
Basically, it was a slave ship. It carried 510 enslaved Africans. When it sank off the coast of Cape Town, 200 were killed, and then they, quote, rescued the cargo and sold 200 others that they were able to salvage from the ship.
The museum opened last year in September. Looking back, do you feel that you did the right thing?
I think so. I think that we had hoped that this museum would be a place that mattered for people, that would help people understand the unvarnished truth, and that would be a safe space where people can come together to wrestle with things that have divided us. And what's clear to me is that's happened. Is that this museum has probably the most diverse audience of any museum in the world. At this stage, it's one of the most highly visited museums in the world because people both are looking to see this story, this history, in a way it's not been told before, but to see it in a way that helps them understand what slavery tells us about American notions of liberty and freedom. So the goal here is to craft a place that challenges, that educates, that allows people to remember, but gives people not just a way to look back, but to use the museum to explore today and tomorrow.
Can you see any ways in which the UN Remember Slavery Program can partner with the museum on our common mission to combat racism and prejudice?
I think that this is a wonderful opportunity to find ways to partner, whether it is bringing exhibitions that are being done, whether it's working with school children to raise these questions of race, whether it's looking at contemporary issues of slavery. I think it's really important because my job, I believe, is to create new generations of activists. of people who go through the museum, who go through the programs, work with the partners we have, and realize they've got a responsibility to help transform America, to recognize that the country has come a very long way, but only because people sacrificed, people struggled, people challenged. I want to create new folks who realize that's part of their obligation as citizens.
When we say America, we're speaking of the United States of America, but also both continents.
My goal is that this is a global museum. This museum has the highest percentage of international visitors of any Smithsonian museum. Because for many people around the world, part of their first introduction to American culture was through African-American culture. But also what I've been really struck by has many people, whether it's the Dutch or the Argentinians, who have come to me and said, if you could do a museum that takes race and helps us understand how it's part of our national identity, then therefore we should try to do that in the Netherlands. We should try to do that in Argentina. So part of my goal is to really help nations of the world grapple with these questions that have divided us.
What would be your special message for the day?
There is nothing more powerful than a people who are steeped in their history. And one of the histories that people need to be steeped in is the story of slavery. And they need to see slavery as people who were victimized, but who weren't victims. People who were bought and sold, but they were also brave. And for me, what I hope is people realize that this is a story that has shaped almost every country in the world. So much of Europe's wealth was generated by the slave trade. If you go to many countries in Latin America, the biggest difference between the way Portuguese is spoken in Brazil versus Portugal is the impact of Africa. So what I want is people to realize that this is a story that gives you inspiration, gives you anger, makes you sad, but it helps you realize the resiliency of a people that have shaped the world.
More than one version? Do you want to mention
that? So today at the United Nations, we are commemorating the International Day of Remembrance of the Victims of Slavery and the Transatlantic Slave Trade. Why do you think this is important globally?
It's important globally to remember and to have days like this because slavery and the slave trade dramatically has reshaped the world. In essence, the modern world comes out of slavery. The change in Europe as a result of the money that they earned from the slave trade, the impact of the trade on Africa, and the impact on those who survived the Middle Passage on Latin America, the Caribbean, the United States. In essence, slavery in many ways is the last great unmentionable. The people are uncomfortable with it. And to have a day like this really allows people to really look at all the dark corners of their past and to understand better how they are profoundly shaped by something that happened centuries ago.